being like Jesus? It's an important thing. But you know, when we think about being like Jesus, maybe you're like some people are thinking, this is impossible. How can I be like Jesus? Well, to that response, I have a question. It's a question that Mary, or the angel said to Mary, is anything impossible for God? It doesn't depend upon us so much as it does depend on our cooperating with God to make us be what He wants us to be. But look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined, that's God, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, it's God's purpose. It's God's desire. It's His design for us to be conformed to the image of His Son, to be like Jesus. But for us human beings, you know, this might seem like something that is overwhelming, too great for us to achieve. But it's us, each of us, rising up to a new level of life, rising up to a new level of thinking. How do you think about the world? What do you think about the conditions of the world? If we're like Jesus, we're going to think about them the way He did. Raising up to a new level of responding to people, as we talked about in the Sunday school class. Responding to people in a new way. Not like the old way. Anybody can do it the easy way. The old way is the easy way, and anybody can do that. But God called us to rise up to the level of Jesus Christ and respond as He responded to people that were abusive to Him. People who weren't thankful to Him. People who wanted to abuse Him and take advantage of Him. You see, this idea of becoming like Jesus Christ is going to change. It should change all the ways we do life. All of them. How we look at our selfishness, how we look at the needs of other people, how we respond to people we don't really care for, you know, those people who drive us nuts sometimes, responding to them the way that Jesus responds. That being like Jesus. Filled with fullness. Filled with fullness. This is one of those things. We look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. That's the verse that I'm going to put up on the wall for you. And Paul talking about Jesus, he said, for in Him, that's Jesus, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Whoa! Have you given some time to think about that lately? The fullness of what God is dwells in Jesus Christ bodily. Think about it. How could someone contain that? You ever think, how could someone contain that? Well, it's when you're thinking about that, I want to throw out this other verse too. From Ephesians 3:19. Paul's prayer, part of it says, for us, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. You. Me, I'm just a lonely little guy. You, filled with the fullness of God. Oh yeah, we could say, yeah, well, it's okay for Jesus. Sure, that's all right for Him. But Paul says He wants it for all of us as well. So when you think about being filled with the fullness of God, does that like put your brain in a hurting place thinking about that? You know, when you're filled with the fullness of God, you can't be filled with yourself. Think about it. You can't be filled with selfish ambition when you're filled with the fullness of God. Jesus did the will of the Father like he wants us to because he was filled with the fullness of God. The same thing is true of us. But I know. I can hear those arguments. So, okay for Jesus, but, you know, if there is anything impossible with God, this is it. He can't do that with me. Wrong. Because as it says here in Ephesians 3:19 and 20, Paul finishes this phrase by saying, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." You see the key? You see where the secret lies there? God is able to do far more than you even think he can. So when it comes down to being filled with the fullness of God, to be like Jesus, filled that way, we're going to say, no, that's not possible. And you know what makes you say that? You say that because you don't want to give up the old life. That's why. The old way of living is comfortable, it's used, and we're in it, and we're comfortable. And to change all of that, to have God come and interfere with that and change it, fill me with his fullness, is just too much of a bother. I don't want to do it. And so we don't. You see, because here Paul's telling us that God is able to do far more, exceedingly abundantly, beyond what we think or we even ask for. God can do it. Do you see where it says there at that last line? All of this is according to the power that works in us. If God's not working in us, this is impossible. Does that make sense to you? If I'm working my life on my own power, my own ingenuity, my own understanding, Ephesians 3:20 doesn't apply to me. Because I'm not looking for God to do anything for me. I know sometimes we say, God, I need this. Can you see your way clear to helping me out of this jam I'm in? You know, we say those prayers when we're in trouble. But that's not what God wants. He wants us to be filled with his fullness, and he's able to do it. He's able to do it. I think that this being filled with the fullness of God, this desire that Paul said he had for us, and the ability of God to not only do what we think that means, but far beyond that, that ought to give us something to look forward to. And ought to give us something to look forward to. Not just football this afternoon. Not just the World Series that's coming up. I need something really to look forward to. You being filled with the fullness of God. Anybody here willing to take that challenge? Willing to pray this way in your private time? What's holding you back? Something, isn't it? Yeah. Don't let it hold you back. God wants this for you. Whatever you think it is that's holding you back, or whatever you know is holding you back, God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you think or ask. He can do it. There's something holding you back. Believe me, he can take that out of your life. You got to let loose of it and let him take it. But he can do it. If anybody says he's in Jesus, then you ought to walk like Jesus walked. Live the way Jesus lived. I remember many years back that I was confronted by another pastor who said, "Does the Bible really say we have to be like Jesus? Does it really say it?" I think maybe he was asking an honest question. He wasn't trying to be funny. Yes, indeed. The Bible does say we need to be like Jesus more than one time. It doesn't take a Greek education to understand the text that says, if you say you are in Christ Jesus, then you need to live the way He lived. That's pretty clear. Pretty clear. When we're talking about being like Jesus, one of the other things that we get to do is be gospel agents. Being agents of God as far as the gospel is concerned. In John 7:16, Jesus said this. He answered the people that He was talking with and said, my doctrine is not mine, but His who sent me. Jesus wasn't making something up as He went along. He was telling the people what God wanted them to tell. You look back in the Old Testament, look at the prophets, for instance. We're studying Ezekiel on Friday afternoon, which might be a good one to look at. Just the second chapter of Ezekiel. See what God tells Ezekiel. You tell them what I'm going to tell you to tell them. They won't listen to you, but you tell them anyway. So at least they will know they've been warned. Go do it. God's word through the prophets and God's word through His Son Jesus Christ is the same. And it's the same with us. You don't make things up. That's why we need to stick with what Scripture says. Because it's not up to us to make up anything. Jesus was sent by the Father. There it goes. It's going now. I said it before. What good's a preacher if he can't talk? Yeah. Jesus was sent to reveal God to us. Reveal the gospel, that good news. You know, you've got the same mission. Because in John chapter 20, verse 21, He said to His disciples, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. This is recorded for our benefit. It's that word as in there. As the Father has sent me. Determine it however you want. It doesn't matter at this point. How was Jesus sent? By the Father to preach the gospel. In the book of Mark, the first chapter, verse 14 and 15, it says, Jesus began to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God by saying, repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. And as Jesus was sent by the Father to be God's, Yahweh's agent, He's saying to us, I'm sending you the same way. Not to make something up, but to tell people what God wants them to hear. Matthew 28:19 in the Great Commission. It was brought up in Sunday school class. In that Great Commission, Jesus said, go and make disciples. Go do that. Just like Jesus made disciples. And He said, as a matter of fact there, teach them to observe everything that I taught you. Don't change anything. Teach them everything that I've taught you. And even in 2009, the same principle applies. We teach what Jesus taught us because it's not ours to change. We go as gospel agents because that's what Jesus wants us to do. Just like Him, we can be gospel agents as well. Talking about being like Jesus, one of the other things is ruling this Jesus. Ruling. Have you thought about this lately? That we're going to be kings and priests? Going to be kings and priests ruling with Jesus. And the question was asked some time back, why is it 1,000 years? Why 1,000 years? Such a long time. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know the answer completely, but as I contemplated that, I thought, it's a reward for Jesus so he can rule the earth for 1,000 years. He earned it. Now listen, you get to rule with Christ too. What do you say? No, you don't just get it. It's something he grants to the overcomers. It's his reward. We look at Revelation. I'm going to look at chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. And these are the group of people around the throne, John's vision of heaven, and they sang a new song. And this is what that song was. You are worthy. And they're talking to the Lamb. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seal because you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. By your blood, you were slain and you redeemed us to God by your blood. That's how Jesus earned the right to rule for 1,000 years. But these people go on as they sing this song, they go on to say, not only have you by your blood redeemed us out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, but also you have made us kings and priests to our God. And we will reign on the earth. Whoa. Think about that. Blessed are the meek. You know why? They shall inherit the earth. Look around. Not the world, the earth. Jesus redeemed us by his blood, and he will give to those who are overcomers to be kings and priests of our God and reign on the earth. Is that wonderful? Is that good? Ruling with Jesus, being like him, that's the thing. And we will rule like him as a king and priest. Now, Revelation 20, verse 4, here John records this for us. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their forehead or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That's quite a reward. You see, it comes down. You look at that verse, it comes down to this decision. Is my head now attached to my body more important than ruling with Christ in the future? We have to make that decision. These people, John says, I saw these souls who were beheaded because of their witness. Killed because they would not surrender. Because they would not give up their Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's a reward. It is a reward that Jesus promises to give to those who overcome. Well, I know that this looks like it's sometime in the future. But listen, there is in 1 Corinthians 6:2. Paul says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Now this isn't like a beauty pageant judging kind of a thing. This is like in the Old Testament, there were judges. There were those people who looked out for the nation Israel, the judges. The saints are going to judge the world. And if the world will be judged by you, here's the question, Paul says, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? He's talking between believers. We're going to judge angels. Think about that God, and then Paul says, can't you deal with these small things yourself? Can't you deal with these smaller matters? And then he goes on to say, do you not know? Don't you realize that we shall judge angels? Are you feel fit to judge angels? You're filled with the fullness of God. I would say, yes, you are. Don't you know that we will judge angels? How much more than things that pertain to this life? You think about the comparison between this life and the one to come. Paul said, hey, what's going on now is inconsequential to what's going to happen later. We are going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. We're going to be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. He's going to change our vile body to be like His glorious body. Whatever that is. I don't know what it is. I haven't seen it. But I know we're going to be changed to be like He is. We can be like Jesus. We will be like Jesus. Ruling and reigning on the earth like kings and priests. It's a thing we need to ask. You want to be like Jesus? I know it's a big, tall order. I know. But, you know, right now, what we have today, can't do it yesterday, but we can do it today. And keep doing it tomorrow. Don't worry if you didn't do it yesterday. Don't forget about that. Today's the day. Now is the time. That's the way it works. We need to be getting ready now for what we're going to be doing. Paul said in Romans 13, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You see, it goes back to that. Being filled with God's Spirit is going to push out the lust of the flesh. Think about it. Consider for yourself. What is it that drives me? What is it that motivates me? What is it that directs my thinking, my desires? Is it God or is it myself? That's a simple question. And you know the answer to it. You know the answer to it. So don't tell me you don't. I'm not going to buy that. If you have any trouble with this concept, talk to Charlie Hummel. He and I talk about this all the time. He's got it down. He understands it. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know they do this, but I've heard tell that in a football game, sometimes the football kicker, the guy that does the kicking, he'll cheat. Now, can you imagine how in the world can you cheat kicking a football? They fill it with helium. They get a little more lift. You see, it's filled with something that's going to have an effect on how it acts. You filled with the fullness of God is going to have an effect on how you act. When you're filled with yourself, it has an effect upon how you act. Paul is simply saying here, put on Jesus Christ. And don't be making plans to sin. You catch yourself planning to sin. You need to, go talk to the Master. Find out what you need to do differently, how you need to think differently. Think differently. There, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. The last verse in that chapter, Paul says, ask the question, who can understand the mind of the Lord? Who can? But then he completes the thought by saying, but we have the mind of Christ. Did you know that was in your possession? The mind of Christ in your possession. I think that's wonderful. You have the mind of Christ. But there's another part of this. In Colossians 1:26, I don't want to throw this out. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. That's you, His saints. I know, we won't have to go into that today. But you're His saints. And then Paul says that there is a mystery that has been hidden from ages and generations long ago, but it's been revealed to you. Do you know what that is? You have the mystery revealed to you that people down through the ages, at least at Paul's time, didn't understand. What is that mystery that you have the secret to that's been revealed? Well, in the very next verse, Paul says, to them, God willed to make known what are the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, you becoming more like Christ, Christ building you so that you are him to everybody, not just to the church people, but to the people you don't want to deal with, the people you'd rather fight with. You're Christ to them as well. We are to become like Jesus Christ. God's revealed this mystery that is Christ in you. Filled in you. You filled with Christ. And not only that, but a hope of glory. That reward we talked about, ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus for 1,000 years. That glory. And that hope is ours because Christ is in us. You see, that mystery has been revealed to us. It's come to us. We look at these things about being like Jesus, being a servant like he was, being filled with the fullness of God like he was, speaking the gospel, making disciples like he did because he commissioned us to do that. Well, all of these things, I'm going to say that we're like in a training camp now. Now, we're being exercised and trained. We've got an assignment coming up. And God wants us ready for that. You see, he wants us to be like Jesus, be conformed to Christ's image now. So that in the future, it's going to be like natural for us. You don't want to, that's fine. It's up to you. It's not a good choice. It's not wise. But it's up to you. You see, because there is a bigger assignment coming that we're getting ready for. When Jesus returns, he's going to find those faithful servants of his and reward them openly. Remember the parable of the talents, the parable of the minus, where the nobleman went out, they had to go take a long journey, so he called the servants in and he gave them some money and said, do my business till I get back. And when he got back, that nobleman came back from his long journey and he said, how'd you guys do doing my business? Then they were, we've made you this much more, we've increased your holdings by this much, and the last, and to each of those servants, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You know what that is? Ruling and reigning with Christ. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Oh, that makes me tingle to think about it. But there was one servant who didn't give the Lord any increase when he came back. He said, well, here's what you gave me, and I'll give that back to you. I know you're a pretty stern man. You take what isn't yours, and you are just hard. And Jesus said, you liar. If you knew I was so hard, you would at least put this in the bank, and I'd have got interest on my money. Take it away from him. And give it to the one who has 10. That servant didn't do the Lord's business. So when the Lord came back and settled accounts, he settled it up, and he's coming back. We have an assignment to rule and reign with Jesus Christ, to be like him now. And when he comes back, those assignments are going to be passed on. I believe it. I believe they will be. And now we have the time to get ready.